Point estimates is really talking about statistics, where we're taking a set of data and coming up with an estimate for the statistic, which then in turn represents a parameter. Now, I've kind of hammered in a number of times this idea of statistics and parameters, and it's a set of terminology that you need to become very familiar with, because in a single word, a question can turn into a question about us based on a sample or a question based on a population. And because of the different way we calculate the variance term, that you may end up with a slightly different answer. And so it becomes important to be very familiar with this. Now, in practice, most of the time we deal with estimates of these parameters, and we're dealing with statistics all the time, but we're working towards making good decisions. And that's where the real value of these tools comes into play. So point estimates are really just an estimate of a statistic. It's really all it is. So if we don't have all of the data across the entire population, say all of the heights of all of the students taking this class, and we only have access to a small number of the students, then we can use that to make an estimate about that parameter. So we can take the average height of the sample we have and use that as an estimate of that parameter. And that's what we mean by point estimates. And there's a number of different types of statistics we can deal with, and there's a different sets of tools we can use to understand how good our estimates are. And we'll get to that in this lesson and future lessons. So first off, just a quick refresher, some of the basic statistics that we deal with is the mean and standard deviation. We also have medians and ranges and a variety of other terms that are associated with these. But these two formulas are basically built into what we know about dealing with data. And just a caveat on standard deviation, notice that n minus one element of the standard deviation, that should immediately trigger that is a sample standard deviation. If you take away the n minus 1 and just leave n, then that is a population standard deviation. It's only really important when you have smaller sample sizes, but you should know the difference and spot it intuitively or immediately. So sometimes we need to know where the data is located, and we need to know what the shape of the data is. But we also have other types of statistics we deal with, and those include life data or Weibull parameter statistics or Weibull parameters. And so it can go well beyond just mean and standard deviation, and depending on what distributions we're dealing with. Another set of terms that we commonly need to be able to create estimates for are mean time between failure or mean time before failure. I've seen it done that way also. And mean time to failure. Now, it's commonly used that MTBF is for repairable systems and mean time to failure is for non-repairable systems. But in essence, they're exactly the same number because it's tally up your operating time and divide by the number of failures is the way you estimate either one of these. But when working with repairable systems, we often are interested in if the data is as good as new or as bad as old is another way of doing it. So think of it as the repair process restores the system to like new conditions so that the clock really starts on the probability of failure for all of the various elements of your system at time zero after you do a repair system. On the other hand, like my car from high school, once I replaced the fuel pump, the alternator was still very old and it failed fairly quickly. Its probability of failure did not change at all because I replaced a fuel pump. And there, as an aside, there are methodologies now and algorithms now to assess the effectiveness of a repair process. So how close to good as new have you gotten or what proportion of the system was restored? And there's ways to do that now, but it's well beyond the scope of this course. And I don't even think it's mentioned in the body of knowledge. But anyway, MTBF and MTTF are a common set of statistics that we're going to need to deal with. The other set of terms that we're going to need to deal with is censoring. And censoring is the basic idea. If I have time to failure type data, I may end the test, or I may have parts of my data that have not failed yet. And so if a system is operated for 10 hours and hasn't failed yet, I can use that information because it did actually operate for 10 hours. And so type one censoring is that it's censored by time. So when it's been defined in a variety of statistical tools and techniques, that type one censoring is that the test ended at a specific time, say 100 hours. And we may or may not have had some failures over that period, but the test ended at the clock, when the clock struck 100 hours. Now, type 2 censoring is just another version of censoring, and it's where we set up a test that after 3 failures, we end the test. And so it ends on a failure point. And the units that haven't failed yet are also censored, but they're in write censored at that. But it's just two different ways to look at the type of censoring data that we deal with. And we can design a test to run a specific time, or we can design a test to run until we have a certain number of failures. And that's the type one, type two failures. So if we're working on MTBF estimates and we have no censored data, that's really wonderful because it means everything's failed. And I call it perfect data because you don't have to deal with censoring at all. And theta hat is a nomenclature for the estimate of theta, or estimate of MTBF. Then it's the number of units we've run and how long those units ran, and then how many failures we had. Ours, and it looks like it capitalized it on me, the lovely autocorrect. Little r is the number of failures across all units. Now, we're making the assumption that the time to repair is small or insignificant compared to the operating time. So if the test is run for 1,000 hours and the repair time or replacement time is only an hour, that should be fine. But it should be relatively small in the single-digit percent of the total time it's run. On the other hand, if you have a failure and it takes it months to repair and the test only runs for a month, then this basic assumption is invalid. You have to use some other methodology to make the estimates. Although, when you think about it, as long as you do good bookkeeping, you can keep track of how many operating hours there is and how many units each one operated and tally that up. So that works just fine. I should take that back a little bit. So when I have complete data, or perfect data, as I like to call it, or data that has no censoring, then the estimate for MTBF is tally up the total time and all the units have run and divide by number of failures. So if I had 10 units run 1,000 hours, it'd be 10,000 hours on the top and 10 failures on the bottom. And that works really good. All right. The next way is when I have this type 1 censoring. And so in this case, let's take a look. If I have 8 motors placed into test, and the test is run exactly 1,000 hours. So as soon as I get a failure, I replace it. I pretty quickly am able to spot the failure and get another motor in there and running. So each location, each of those 8 motor locations, will receive a total of 1,000 hours. So 8,000 hours total testing. And then I divide it by 3. I had 3 failures in this particular example. So that works out pretty easily, right? Now, the type 2 censoring is I'm going to end the test when there's exactly, what did I say here? Until the second failure has occurred. So for a type 2 censoring, it's failure censoring. So I put 8 motors in place. I run the test until I get a second failure, and I get some time here. So in this case, I've got 7 motors that have run for 879 hours, and I've got 1 that's run for 256 hours and 2 failures. So it'd be 7 times 879 and then add the 256 for the first one that failed and wasn't replaced. And then I had two failures, so I divide by two. So it's pretty straightforward. So with this MTBF type and point estimate type approach, whether it's for a mean or a standard deviation or the MTBF values, given whatever kind of censoring we have, what's missing? What do we don't know about this part? So we need to talk about point estimates a little bit more, because we need to judge the quality of that point estimate, the usefulness of that point estimate. And we'll get to that in part in the next section on about point estimates, but more specifically, we're going to talk about confidence intervals.